Short and to the point. That's the three B's. Be direct, be short, and be seated. The three B's of public speaking. I didn't take that course, as you may know. Well, the Word of God is so rich and powerful, and when it gets down in here, nothing can stop you. You know, if you get enough word in you for long enough, the word will heal you of whatever you need healing of. If you get enough of the word in you, the word will heal you. If you get enough of the word in you, it'll develop your understanding to the place where you will be able to see with your understanding clearer than you see. You'll be able to trust that understanding more than you can trust your physical senses. It's the truth. Because this is why the truth makes you free. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then you'll know the truth. You'll know it. It's the truth that you know that sets you free.
Right.
Yeah, well, you know, I'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. No, it won't. Mm-hmm. But if you continue and continue and continue in the word, it'll make you free. It'll release a power in you that will not stop. It cannot stop because it's the Word of God. Just like He created the universe, you know, the universe is still expanding at the speed of light. The Word doesn't stop. Once it's in you, its anointing is released, it will continue. Praise God. So our series here in August is Whose Report Will You Believe? You know, years ago, there was a song released that, whose report are you going to believe? Whose report are you going to believe? And I was talking to a pastor at the time, and I said, yeah, whose report? He said, yeah, that's some obscure scripture. I said, no, it's not. It's Isaiah 53, one of the greatest messianic redeeming scriptures in the Old Testament, besides maybe Psalm 22. He said, what do you mean? I said, that's what Isaiah said. Whose report are you going to believe? Who has believed our report? Our report. This is prophetic report. We have some prophetic words this morning. Are you going to believe those reports? Or are you going to leave and go back into the four walls of your own existence and say, I'm lonely? No, you need to take the word of God with you when you leave here and be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. Right? So whose report are you going to believe? And then he answers it. Basically, he says this. Those to whom the arm of the Lord has been what? Revealed. When God reveals something to you, once you see something, nobody can talk you out of it. Huh? I mean, why? Because it goes in you. It forms an image, an etching. It burnishes something in you that is permanent. This is the power of the court system, the power of an eyewitness. He knows what he saw. And if they get two or three more other witnesses saw the same thing, I mean, it's a foregone conclusion that the accused is either guilty or innocent based on an eyewitness. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, let everything be established. The power of an eyewitness. We need to see things the way God sees them. We need to see differently. We need to know some things here. In part one, we talked about the arm of the Lord. Jeremiah 17, he said, you know, cursed is the man who trusts in man, whose arm is the flesh. Why? Because there's no strength in your arm compared to the power and the strength that you need in the arm of God who lives inside of you. His name is Jesus. Amen? And unfortunately, our video was taken down, deplatformed by YouTube that day because of medical misinformation. And all I was doing was quoting a doctor who was one of the premiers on CNN or whatever. And I was quoting her, and they deplatformed it as false information. Well, it was false when she spoke it in the first place 2 years ago. There goes this one too. See, that's because YouTube feels that you don't have the right to hear all the information and make your own decisions. They will make that for you. They strip your freedom away and they will do whatever they want to till you believe what they want to do. You know what? Whenever this has happened ever since the welfare systems and everything else, when they try to engineer outcome, instead of providing opportunity, they will never tap into the creative juices of the American people. But when they provide opportunity, like the Constitution says, then you're going to see the people just come alive. You're going to see businesses flourish. You're going to see schools flourish. You're going to see everything. But as long as you're trying to engineer an outcome, you'll mess it up every time. Well, you think we'll get deplatformed again, Phil? We'll see. If they do, we have lots of other platforms too. And they are run by spirit-filled, born-again, hair-on-fire Jesus people. And those platforms are up, and we can take advantage of those. We'll give YouTube another chance. Another chance to carry the blessing of God into this earth and to release people from the deception of political minutia. And people who are all so full of themselves that they need your freedom away from you in order to be who they are. What kind of a country is that? Anyhow. So last week we took a look at the difference between revelation knowledge and sense knowledge. And there's a vast difference there. We should get a big clue as you read through the New Testament, especially the letters of Paul, Jude, Peter. These were written by revelation. The last book in the New Testament is the book of Revelation. So what's he like? He's inviting us to walk in and to receive revealed or revelation knowledge versus what? What our body is telling us, what our own mind and logic and reasoning is telling us. We can receive a deeper and more powerful knowledge base that is based on truth, that is based on the Word of God and what it says, regardless of what your body says, regardless of what your experience says, regardless of what your past says, regardless of what your neighbors say, regardless of anything else that's going on in this world. We have a higher information center, and he is called the Holy Spirit, and he reveals the Word to us. Amen. Christianity is not about memorizing scripture until you get everything right.
How are you right? And I have the joy of the Holy Spirit.
No, you don't. It's not about that. It's about when the Holy Spirit comes into your life and starts softening your heart, and he starts revealing the scriptures and the purpose and the heart behind those scriptures. And if you want to be right all the time, and you, excuse me, get animated here, like the Pharisee. You notice the drunkards, and they didn't want to be around the Pharisees. They wanted to be around Jesus. Because Jesus walked in love and faith. He honored people where they were. He met them where they were at. We need to extend that. You know, I heard something last night on Huckabee about this guy who owned a clothing store, and he wanted to keep up with the times and so forth. And he saw a young man looking in the window. It was back in the 50s. It was Elvis Presley. He didn't know who he was. I mean, he was a kid. But he was nice. He says, "Can I help you, son?" He says, "Mr. So-and-so, I like your clothes, but I don't have any money. But I want you to know that I'm working, and I'm gonna buy your clothes." He said, "Well, sure." So he was nice to the kid. And that kid turned into a millionaire upon millionaire. And he helped this guy. Just be nice to somebody. You never know the return it's going to give you. Amen? What a wonderful story that was. Praise God. Well, you know, Elvis, what are you talking about Elvis in church for? Because he was born again. You'll see him in heaven. You'll see a brother who got confused about a lot of things. Because at that level of fame and fortune and everything, the intensity of the devil and deception is so strong that you can't fathom it. And the confusion is very intense. The last book of the Bible was Revelation, which came to John by revelation. The book of Jude came to him by revelation. How did he know that Satan argued with Michael over the body of Moses? That's in the book of Jude. It was all done by revelation. The book of Peter, he talks about the end times, fervent heat. How does he know? He got it by revelation. The Lord showed him these things. Are they any different than you and me? No! No! And in fact, we have them as a platform, as a foundation to get even more revelation, of walk in the reality of what's happening now. So that when you can recognize it right away, you can recognize the deception when it's coming on the horizon, and you can call it for what it is. I remember years ago when there was a certain person running for president of the United States, and I recognized the words that came out of his mouth, and I said, he's a socialist. And I was told, you can't just say that. Now it's like, look how it multiplied so fast. And but you can recognize these things on the horizon. So that you, why? Why does God show you? So that you can be prepared. You get in the Word and show Him exactly what it is. And say, you know, God loves you, but that's not going to work. It's tried and failed over and over and over again. He has a better plan. And you can talk to Him. You know, don't get all over Him and try to correct Him up front before they get to know you. And the sweetness of your spirit and the love that's in your heart. They'll want that. Sense knowledge is the knowledge base we accumulate primarily through our five physical senses. It depends on how we feel or what we know or what our experiences is in order to believe anything. This is the difference between somebody who believes the word and above what they're feeling, or they put their feelings first. Here's Thomas. Jesus said, you know, you believe because you see. What's that? Sense knowledge. Sense believing. That is putting your body first and the Word of God second. He said, don't be doubting, but be believing, because it's fun. That's what he said. You'll be happy. Blessed, happy are those who believe without seeing or feeling or touching or taste or smelling. Why? Because you have your senses, your spiritual senses exercised to discern both good and evil when you walk by the word. See, the danger is when you walk, when you receive healing from the Lord, let's say it was a gift of the Spirit, and you say, wow, thank you. But if you're still entrenched in sense knowledge, believing in your body, that when your body is sick, you say, I'm sick. And when your body says, I'm in pain, you say, well, it must be something else. Maybe da 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 da. And the narrative starts going and you're running with it. And so will you retain that? Because sooner or later, that mind is going to jump up and it's not going to be satisfied by the things. Your spirit cannot abide the things of your mind. It wants to replace the carnal thinking, the natural thinking, the ways, the thinking of sense knowledge. It wants to override that. And your mind is saying, no, God didn't heal me. Why? Because I don't feel that way. Well, that's putting your body first and the word second. The word says, by whose stripes you were healed. Your needs are met according to his riches and glory, whatever they are. It might be healing, it might be financial, it might... Pay attention to what you're defaulting to when you read the scripture. He said to Timothy, charge those who are rich in this world. 90% of the church checks out right there and they don't identify them as the rich in this world. And so they never receive the abundance that God prepared for them. Get your nets out. The nets. That's kind of graphic, isn't it?
Yeah.
nets, plural. Today, we're going to take a look at the eyes of our understanding. I said it before, if you see something, nobody can ever talk you out of it. Once you see it, it's etched. It's there. To you, it is true. It's more than a perception, it is reality. Even though perception is reality, the devil is after your perception, your understanding, your experience, to turn that into his narrative. In Acts 1:8, here's the thing. I talked about the power of eyewitness. Did you know that is exactly who Jesus called you to be? Look at the back wall. And you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me. He has called you to... Now, nobody in this room has seen Jesus in his earthly form, in his body. Nobody in this church has ever seen him lay hands, deliver a sermon, see multitudes healed. Nobody ever saw all of that. Yet, he has called us to be his witnesses. How is that? By the Holy Spirit. He gives you eyes. Your understanding is enlightened to be his witness. And once you see him as he is, you'll know who you are. Once you read through the Gospels and you start to get an... Oral Roberts said this years ago. He said, the Lord instructed him to read through the four Gospels and the book of Acts, those five first books of the New... to read through those three times in 30 days. And he got such an image of Jesus on the inside of him that he knows what he saw. And you can't talk him out of it. You couldn't talk him out of it. What he was really finding out is who he is as a new creation in Christ. That's who he is, because he is a carbon copy of everything Jesus is in his spirit. Does that mean we're perfect? No. Because we have a flesh, we have a mind that is constantly wanting to be renewed. We have a flesh to deal with, don't we? I do. The Apostle Paul did. We all do. We still have a flesh to deal with, and we still have a body we got to talk to. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, you be my witnesses. Now, here's the thing. Is what he's talking about is your testimony as a believer. You have a testimony. You see, you knew who you were before Jesus came into your life, right? But you know who you are now as a new creation in Christ, that your spirit man on the inside has been totally recreated. You don't understand it. You can't explain it, but there's something there. There's a peace that passes understanding. There's a warmth. There's something supernatural inside of you that you never experienced before, a love that was never there before. You have a presence that was never there before, and the stench of your life was gone. You know who you are now, but sometimes you just can't explain it. You know who you are, but God didn't leave you as your only witness. He gave you another person to witness for you, to witness to you and about you, and that's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit witnesses to the fact that you are the righteousness of God in Christ, that you are blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that you are not the sick trying to get healed, you are the healed enforcing healing in your body. So that when your body says this, you say, no, you don't. I have a bigger understanding. You may be a fact. Sickness may be a fact, but I have the truth. It's a higher truth, and you're out of here. Yes, and keep on saying that and saying and continue in the word and continue in the word and continue in the word and continue until you're free. That's what James called the law of liberty. This is spiritual law. This isn't philosophy. This is spiritual law. Just like gravity is a natural law, this is a spiritual law. It's called the law of faith. Amen? Amen. Let's go to our weekly confession, Barbara. And let's declare this together. I'm talking about the Word of God. This Word is speaking to me. This Word is God's life being imparted to me. This Word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This Word is God's authority being delegated to me. This Word is God's blessing overtaking me. This Word is God's ability empowering me. This Word is God's counsel guiding me. This Word is God's power of salvation to me. This Word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases Him. This Word is God speaking to me. Woo! Hallelujah, glory to God. Hey, we have a good God. Do we have James chapter 1 in there, 23 and 24, Barbara? See, James grew up with Jesus. James was Jesus' half-brother. Mary had children after Jesus. You know that, right? Yes. He talks about they're identified. Their names are even identified. Jude is one of them. All right, and so is James. For if any man, and he said, look, if you hear this and don't do it, you're dumb. You're missing the whole program. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. This is King James. That's a mirror. For he beholds himself and goes his way and straightforward forgets what manner of man he was. So if you look in the mirror and you get yourself out and you say, I don't look in the mirror first thing in the morning. I don't do it anymore. Because I go, what? Oh my, no. She hears. praise God for His grace. Oh, love is blind, isn't it? Hey, if you're young, enjoy it. Take lots of pictures. You know, whatever was firm and flat will flop and fly pretty soon. So enjoy it while you got it. You know what I mean? But God loves us, even when you have to look in the mirror. And some of you want to forget what you look like after you look in the mirror, but God doesn't do that. He loves you so much. But if you, let's go back to scripture. He's saying this, look, what he is doing is, what is the verse right before that, Barbara? Whosoever looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, this man shall be blessed in his deed. I think that might be the next verse. So what he's saying here is, look, when you look in the mirror, this is God's record of who you are in the Spirit. This is a record of the fact that you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. This doesn't really tell you who you are. Your surroundings don't tell you who you are. Your body doesn't tell you who you are. He tells you who you are, and this is your mirror of your spirit man. And if you look in this, if you hear this, and you look in this, and you take it in, and then you go like this, well, that's nice, and then you continue on your merry way with the same old mindsets, doing the same old things, the same old lousy expectations of life and God. Most Christians think, you can't possibly know the Word of God. Really? Why did he give it to us? And why did he give us the Spirit? And why did he send Jesus to the cross and raise him from the dead so you could be born again in order to receive the Holy Spirit? Why did he go through all of that? And then why did he send the Apostle Paul to go through everything he went through and Peter, everything he went through to get you a word that would sustain you and to give you everything you need to bring you into his presence and to walk in his power and life so that the world can see something that exists and say, yeah, there is a God and he loves me. If he did that for, you know, I mean, I go back, if I talk to my brother, who he watched me grow up. And he was not impressed. But he knows me now. And I know him now, and I know who he was when he was young. And I can see the difference. And it's such an encouragement to me that we're both born. He was one who led me to the Lord. Amen. He was only 2 weeks in the Lord when he led me to the Lord, or two or three weeks. And it was just before he got discharged from the Army, came back to Connecticut. At the same time, I just happened to come back from Connecticut. I was in Texas playing in rock bands. And I know that's hard for you to visualize. I have evidence. So, but it's encouraging because we knew who we were and now we know who we are. And the only thing that could have done that was a living Savior. Amen. And the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And the conviction of truth. Only thing. So we need to understand something. The Bible is real. It is God's record, his account of who you are. You need to look into it as if it is your mirror. And let God reveal the real you to you. That's what he's talking about, reveal his son in me. He's revealing who you really are in the spirit. Number two is we need to know that we can understand the Bible. Too many Christians say, put the Bible on some pedestal like it's an idol. And like, you can't touch this. You can't really understand this. You can't do this. Well, come on. Why did he give it to us? You can understand it. Whether you grew up, we all grew up in some kind of a religious setting, whether it's denominational or even evangelical and so forth, that negates the promises of God, negates the reality of the Holy Spirit, negates all these things, and it's nothing but a bunch of puffy religion. Do nothing. If you can't, anyhow. It's tiring to me to see Christians miss so much by rejecting the Holy Spirit, rejecting the Word of God as their highest authority. They say, well, you got to be logical. Really? The greatest logic in this world comes from the Bible. Not from sense knowledge, but from truth. And without it, we have no light. Can you imagine what the world was like before Jesus came here? Even the calendar marks it. I mean, I can't go into that. I don't have time. That's another whole message. But the thing is, if you're depending on your senses and your experience to tell you, rather than the eyes of your understanding being enlightened by the Word of God, you'll look at God the same way you always did. You'll look at yourself the same way you always did. You'll look at the Bible the same way as you always did. You'll look at the church the same way as you always did. This is a Holy Ghost hospital here, where we come to get patched up, where we come to get identify what how we've been deceived during the week or whatever. It identifies how the devil's working so we can see it and overcome it and put it under our feet and rise up and be who we really are. God is a good God. He doesn't deal in that stuff. He doesn't, no, he lifts us up over it. Amen. Amen. The Spirit of truth. Let's turn to Ephesians. I want to talk just for a few moments here on the hope that we've been called to, the inheritance that we have in Christ, and the exceeding greatness of his power that's always coming to us. That's based on the resurrection power of Jesus. But turn to Ephesians chapter 1. And I want to talk for a minute. When you've been illuminated, you'll see the hope that you have been called to. Hope has the power to ignite us. Faith needs hope in order to function, because faith is the substance of things hoped for. Amen? So if the devil can strip you of your hope, then he's already defeated your faith. Your faith won't work without hope. You need hope. That's why it's important, because when you start to see yourself as God sees you, your hope will elevate to a place your faith can wrap around it and start energizing it, ignite the truth in your life. It says we also have an inheritance, the inheritance of the saints, it's called. The enormity of our inheritance cannot be understood by the natural mind, the carnal mind, or human reasonings. It's infinite. But we're not infinite when we've been born again. Eternal life that goes just as far back as the eternal life has come into your spirit, the life and nature of God. Here's the example. He says this, in whom, in Jesus, you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. The earnest of our inheritance, what does that mean? Well, when you buy something large, a car or something, you put a down payment on it, and then you got into a payment system after that, right? A down payment, which is part of the purchase price. Well, let me say this. If the down payment on you was the Holy Spirit, I can only imagine what the rest of that inheritance is. When the third person of the Godhead is my down payment, I mean, if that doesn't float your boat, nothing will. Look at this. God values you. You know, this whole false humility thing of the church is saying, you know, I'm just nothing. You know, he's everything and I'm nothing. And you know, I don't deserve. No, you don't deserve it. But that's not who you are. God values you. If the purchased possession, the price that's paid for the purchased possession puts the purchased possession as equal as the price paid for it, right? That means if Jesus paid for you, God considers you equal to Jesus, and so does Jesus. Because when Saul of Tarsus went to Damascus, he didn't say, why are you persecuting those Christians? He said, why are you persecuting me? You see, he takes anything that comes your way from people or anything else, he takes it personally. And his protective instincts rise up against, he is a shepherd, and he's a good shepherd, and he leads us. First, and it says, he says about us, we know his voice, we hear his voice. He leads us and we follow. Say that, I know his voice. I hear his voice. He leads me. And I follow him. And the voice of a stranger, I will not follow. But I will flee. Oh, get used to that fleeing, like Joseph did against Potiphar's wife. He fled. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit. That was an earnest. That's earnest money. That's a down payment. The Holy Spirit is the down payment of our redemption and our inheritance that will sustain us throughout eternity. And you don't have to wait. There's a lot of that inheritance that you can get in this lifetime now, and you don't have to wait till heaven to get it. There are so many misconceptions of that religion tacks on this thing, that you have to wait to heaven to get everything. That is not true. This is why he gave us these promises in this lifetime, so we could tap into them now. But only when the eyes of your understanding are enlightened to know the hope, to know your inheritance, and to know something else, the exceeding greatness of his power. Amen. The exceeding greatness of his power that is coming to us is evidenced when he raised Jesus from the dead. The same power that lives in you, that raised Jesus from the dead, lives in you. Amen. Paul goes on in Romans 8, 14, 15, 16, that if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you, resurrection power. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Do we have the other one? The next one, Barbara? And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Every time you open up the Bible, you are witnessing the resurrection power of Jesus and the revelation knowledge of Jesus and all of that revealed in Jesus. Every time you read the letters of Paul, they came by revelation. It is a witness to the fact that the spirit of wisdom and revelation abides in you, in the person of the Holy Spirit. Do you understand that? You're not just saying yes, right? Okay. That the eyes of your understanding, do you know that this word understanding is translated other places in the New Testament as imagination? You know, the world thinks that the imagination is just fantasy. It's not real. No, it's your imagination is the way God created you so that you will be able to conceive the eternal things of God in your imagination, where the conception department of your life is, and that where you conceive the promises of God, you conceive the miracles of God, you conceive the truth and the eternal and the incorruptible seed of the Word of God, and all of those things and properties of the Word of God go into your imagination first and start to expand your expectations until you start to see the power of God in your life. Imagination is very important. This is why the devil tries so hard to fill it with the wrong things. he doesn't quit. He's not supposed to. That's his job, not to quit. It's our job to stand. And having done all to stand, stand. Amen. Having your loins girded with a girdle with a belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, the shoes prepared with the gospel of peace. And be skillful with that sword. The devil doesn't want to be around it. You know, Jesus beat him so badly, he is still shaking. It says, for as much as the children are partakers of the flesh and blood, he also likewise took part of the same, that through death he might paralyze him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Jesus paralyzed him. He's still shaking. He'd never, in the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God, he defeated him in the wilderness. He stayed in the Word and stayed in the Word and stayed in the world. And no matter what the world did to him, he rose up above it. You know, the Word of God, that same Word dwells in you. That is the Rhema Word of God. Speak it. Faith comes. Speak it. Faith comes. Speak it. Faith comes. Faith comes. Kind of strayed a little bit here today. You like these rabbit trails I'm going on sometime? Now listen, in Ephesians chapter 2, this is at the end of his prayer, Ephesians 2 verses 1 through 6, he said, and you, stop right there. He said all these things to Jesus, about Jesus, that you would know the hope of your calling, the exceeding greatness of his power to us, believe according to the working which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand, far above all principalities, powers, mights, and dominions, in every name that is named, not only in this world, but in the world that is to come, and has put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all, and you. Has he quickened, made alive with the same power, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. The spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past. That was all of us, right? In the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires. Keep going. Desires of the flesh and the mind, and we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But Oh, thank God for that but. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, has quickened us together with Christ. When Jesus was raised from the dead, you were raised from the dead. When Jesus received that power from the throne of God, it says, it's enough, up! You received the same power. By grace you are saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You are seated in a seat of authority that was bought and paid for by Jesus as a joint heir, not a sub-heir, but a co-heir, a joint heir with Christ with the same power, so that when your kids say, "Come, Mommy, I'm sick," no, you lay hands on them. I'll tell you something. Smith Wigglesworth walked into his place of work one time. He was a plumber. And he says, "Why are you so happy?" He says, "Well, truth is," he said, "I came down this morning. I was eating breakfast, and my wife said, 'You got to go pray for the kids. They're sick. It looks like they got the flu or something.'" So he went up, laid hands on them, got them healed. He just enjoyed it. And he's walking in his wheelhouse. Now he's just thanking the Lord. He's walking in. She says, "What makes you so happy?" She said, "Can I have that?" And he said, "Sure." So he prayed for a letter to the Lord. He said, "There's only one way you can keep this." She said, "How?" "Tell somebody else. You know those women you have over here for tea in the afternoons? Tell them what the Lord did for you. Tell them." She did. And they heard. And they got saved too. You can't deny that. You know, you can't deny a testimony. A testimony is done. The devil has no say about it. Those kids were healed, and the devil can't do a thing about it. When you lay hands on your kids and hey, we've all, now, get our minds renewed to this. This is a learning process. Don't get condemned if you've been sick. That used to happen to me all the time. God doesn't condemn anybody. For God came, sent not his son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Look, it's a learning process. Learn. He said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." Look, get these things down in here. Get them down in here. Let them move from here as a concept to down here as a reality. That the eyes of your understanding be flushed with light, flooded with light. And know this, that you are important to God. Know what he paid for you and know what he has brought you to. This way you will honor your seat of authority the way he does. And there will be an agreement in heaven and earth that the devil has no defense for. Yay! Right, is he? Right! The devil is a liar. He's a thief. And that's what he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So steal the word, kill your joy, and destroy your faith. And if he can do that, he can destroy everything else in your life. But you have a testimony. You know who you were. Now you know who you are. And he sent another witness from heaven to bear witness of that. And when you bear, and when he bears witness of you, you're bearing witness of Jesus. And you're leading people to him. This is a partnership made in heaven. Oh, glory to God. Isn't Jesus wonderful? He has delivered me from who I was. Oh, hallelujah to Jesus. So let's see that last scripture, the verse 6. Of chapter 2. Praise God. Even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ by grace, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. Then you go back to chapter 1, verse 21. Far above all principalities and power, mights, and dominions in every name that's named. You're above and not beneath. Amen. You're blessed rising up and lying down. You're blessed coming in and going out. This is the blessing of Abraham in the person of Jesus Christ who lives in you, empowered by the Holy Spirit and given authority in heaven and earth to reign and rule with him as joint heirs of everything the New Testament declares about you. It is written and it cannot be changed.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it will not return void, but it accomplishes in us that which pleases you. Thank you that this word is you speaking to us. This word is your life being imparted to us, that it is incorruptible seed that will reproduce after its own kind, that it is the word of your blessing that overtakes us. It's the authority. It's the ability that is eternal and unchangeable. Thank you, Jesus. I don't want to leave on a sour note. But Phil has real authority. He cast that thing out. Praise God. Sometimes these things have a mind of their own. But you have a renewed mind that is renewed in the knowledge of God and the image that is etched and burnished in you. And you've seen who you really are. Let that be your vision for the week, for the year, for the month, for eternity. Because you are a new creation. And that's the person you will be forever. So let's start building it up now. Amen. Father, we release ourselves into your care for this week till we meet again. We thank you, Father, that we will learn how to walk more skillfully, more sensibly with you, to rise up from the logic of this world that comes to nothing, but the pure wisdom that comes from you. In Jesus' name. You are dismissed. There's refreshments in the cafe. And if you need prayer for anything else, please come up and our altar ministers will pray for you. You're dismissed. And I look forward to getting to know, if you're first time here, I look forward to getting to know you in the cafe. Praise God.